What is up, Conquer Nation? I am so pumped for you to listen to this interview. Ryan is a good buddy of mine who is doing some amazing things in the world. He's an all-around just absolute great dude. And we dive into some of his adventures that he's been on from the time he started in endurance sports, his dream to do Kona, him finishing Kona, and most importantly, the things that he's doing today to not only change his life, but to change lives of others, and finding your why. So really listen to this episode and think about what is your why and how can you change the world whenever you find it. I think you're absolutely going to love this episode. So please take the time, listen in, and if you have any feedback, let us know. And there will be more episodes coming with Smoke in the future. So enjoy. All right, Smoke. So we've talked about doing this interview for a while. So today's the day.
It is.
First off, what are you drinking?
Belgian beer.
All right. You didn't offer me one, but that's fine.
That's good.
So whenever I was thinking about doing this, I got a couple topics to get us started. And the first one was, I don't remember how we met.
Okay. When I decided nearly 10 years ago to, you know, get into multi-sport, and triathlon was a long time goal of mine since the age of 12. Some friends of mine took me to a bike shop, bought a road bike, put on some aero bars, didn't know what I was doing, did some duathlons, and went to an open water swim one summer with TriOKC folks. Got in the water and I panicked. And I immediately just swam back to and got in the car and just sat there and went, I can't do this. And for 6 months I was just bummed because I was so afraid of just the whole chaos. And somebody mentioned your name. Like, hey, there's this guy named Ryan Ellis. He offers swim lessons. And so I saw you out. And you gave me my first swim lesson at Gold's Gym. And I actually still have the video of it. You did one of those little flip cams. And from that, you and I met several, a good handful of times. And you gave me enough tips and tricks to have the courage to get back into the, you know, open water. And that's how it pretty much took off from there. And we started a friendship. We rode together. And I picked your brain because I knew nothing, you know, other than just trying to research stuff online about triathlons.
Because the first like true memory I have, I know because I worked at the bike shop at that time. So I remember seeing you in there. But then I remember us going out on our first bike ride. And so I knew nothing about your background.
Yeah.
And so usually if you get a guy that's like, oh, I'm new to the sport. This is my first bike, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, this is going to be like the longest day ever. Cause we did like, I don't know, 50 miles or something. So I was like, okay, we're going to be out there all day. And then we got to about the halfway point and I was like, man, this dude is like, could drop me at any time. Like, what's going on? And I was like, oh yeah, so, you know, new to biking. Yeah, I never done anything like this. And then it came out that you were a decathlete in college.
I was.
Yeah, so that's not really the full story that I was getting when we started the bike ride.
Correct.
So how did you get into decathlon?
I was always a weird kid growing up. You know, during the summers and everybody else would be sleeping in, I was always up early going for a run, riding my bike, lifting weights, doing just weird stuff that normal, you know, young kids did or did not do. And so I was always seeking something different. And ran some track in high school and got to college, and our college I went to had a track program. So I went out for it and I thought, man, I'm fast but not fast enough. I'm strong but not strong enough to do field events. But I knew kind of my wheelhouse was decathlon. And that's something I saw on TV, I saw in the Olympics. In 92 was a big campaign for that. And I thought, man, that's what I got to try to do. But the weird thing is there was obviously no internet at the time, so I had no way to Google and YouTube how to throw a shot put, how to throw a javelin, how to do hurdles, you know, or pole vaulting or any of that.
So you didn't know how to do any of
that? Nothing.
Okay.
And so I remember just, like, I was hungry to just wanted to do it. Because nobody else wanted to do it. So that's what I wanted to do. Because, like I said, back, you know, when I was 12, I wanted to do a triathlon. And so it was just this whole multi-different thing, be different. And so I did decathlon in college, loved it, and with the plans to soon do a triathlon as soon as I graduated college. And that was the plan to do. And I always tell people, fortunately, unfortunately, you know, my first son came along a year later, so
Way to go, Logan.
Yeah, way to Logan. So that kind of, you know, pushed the pause button on physical activity.
Right.
Really, for the most part. So when you don't work out for, you know, for 10, 12 years.
And you're, let's just preface this for people that don't know you. You're a big dude to begin with.
Yeah, I'm 6'4", 210.
Okay. And that's when you're fit.
That's when I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, still 6'4", and pushing 245, 250. You know, I was just unhealthy diet. If I ran a mile, that was cardio for me.
Well, that's a lot for a big dude to
run. It was. Yeah. And so, but I got to the point in life going, man, I've got to make some changes. I had health issues, just peripheral nerve disease, just felt horrible. And I really looked at my diet. I was drinking a 6-pack of Diet Coke a day, package of licorice, you name it. I was just, just horrible food. And so little by little, I was weaning stuff out of my diet. Mm-hmm. And started becoming more of a plant-based, you know, over the years.
So you did that like a long time ago. So
I started weaning that myself off going,
yeah.
Well, I took sodas out of my diet. I actually feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. The nerve pain is going away a little bit. So little by little by little, and the more research that came out in regards to diets and stuff, I started, you know, being open to it because I wanted to do anything I could to get that pain away. Mm-hmm. So I have, you know, more stamina and less inflammation in my joints. And so the more I did that, the more I learned from you guys who were doing that, things started, you know, to progress. So I went from, you know, being this, you know, 245 pound, you know, just human to getting down to 195.
Dude, that's light.
Being fit and being light and then having, you know, feeling good about, you know, just feeling good and had the confidence to go buy a bike and to get out there and try something that scared me. Getting into a triathlon scared me to death.
Well, it's not a easy sport to jump into. For one, it's expensive, and you got to have things.
Absolutely.
And then you show up at your first event or your first practice, and it's intimidating because the Oklahoma City community is pretty good about not being cliquish for the most part.
Absolutely.
The local tri group does a really good job of just kind of keeping things pretty casual. Mm-hmm. But when you get there and you see this like really cool bike and you see these people with all these fancy wetsuits on, and it's scary and you have no clue where to go. Because I remember the first time, my first race I didn't know anybody. Like, so it was maybe only like a year or two before you guys got into it. I went out, so and the race I did was a Route 66, and it was 2 days at that time. So I had the sprint on Saturday and the Olympic on Sunday. And I did the Olympic, but Saturday morning I woke up at 5:00 in the morning, drove 30 minutes to get out there to watch, because I was so scared that I was going to get there the next day and be like, where do I go? How do I set this stuff up? Like, you can only Google so much. So, that's such a barrier of entry for endurance, first triathlon essentially.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which sucks.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's nice to have a community or at least a friend that's like in it already to kind of help guide you through that situation.
Like you said, you nailed it on the head. Just the people in the community were so gracious and just willing to show me anything and everything I needed to learn. And as the more races I did, the more group events I showed up to, the more my confidence grew. And so did, you know, wanting, you know, to have the confidence to do bigger races. Because the ultimate goal when I was 12 and I saw on Wide World of Sports was the World Championships in Kona, Hawaii. I thought, I don't know what that is, but I'm mesmerized by it. And someday I would want to do a triathlon. Never thinking, like, I want to go to Kona and race that race because that's the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I've got to do a triathlon in some way, somehow. And I just didn't know how to do it. But here I am at 35 years old, meeting you and meeting people in the Oklahoma City community, helping to build that foundation, not just from a physical standpoint, but from a confidence standpoint to do something, to get me comfortable being uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's what I appreciate so much about just the tri community in general.
It is good here. And I think we're lucky. For one, we're lucky that the races are so inexpensive here. Like, crazy inexpensive.
Yeah.
And people are very helpful because that's what hooked me. First time I did a race, I remember coming in off the bike and them announcing the winner. Like, it happened the exact same time. And I was like, how is that possible?
Right.
Like, I felt like I did pretty good.
Yeah.
That dude ran a 10K already. And then whenever I got done with the 10K, which was a long time later, that guy was standing out there high-fiving and cheering everybody coming across. And I was like, okay, this is cool. Absolutely. Like, super cool. And then once you get into it, you can find your avenue. So, like, my avenue now is kind of diverted off to, you know, off-road stuff and, you know, doing some, like, different, you know, longer events or kind of the random events that aren't so super popular. You know, will I go back to that stuff? Yeah, maybe, probably, who knows. But like right now, it's time to find a different path in that endurance world. Right. So for you, let's fast forward a little bit. So the local people know you from the community. Mm-hmm. You had that dream of Kona that you saw. So let's touch on that for just a second.
Okay.
Because you got to do Kona last year.
I did.
Uh-huh. You cheated because you didn't qualify.
I did not qualify. Uh-huh. I will be the first to tell you. But the way in which I got into Kona, I'm extremely proud of.
Right.
Go back 3 years ago, I went to a camp from Craig Alexander. Crowley had one in Kona. And me and several others went out there for a week. Had the opportunity to meet him, and we came across one of the coaches that was a part of the camp. Thad Beatty is his name. And he was part of this great organization called Team Edith. And they raise money for genetic breast cancer research. And through several conversations and a year or so later, he came to me and said, "Hey, man, I got a slot for next year for Kona, if you want it." And of course, I'm just trembling. Of course I want it.
Right.
But, you know, that doubt creeps in. I've done all these big races and accomplished so much in my life, but there's this doubt, like, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve to be in there with these people who... Right. You know, 99.9% have qualified.
Right.
And they're the best of the best in the world. But when I step back and say, you know what, Smoke? You get to raise money for two women to have specific genetic breast cancer research money for them to do. You'd be a fool not to do this. Because you get to possibly save two women's lives. And the caveat to it was I had to raise $50,000.
For anyone that's ever tried to raise money, that's like an unheard of amount of money.
It's $50,000, and then I had to cover my own expenses.
Oh, so that the 50 now, grand is just like straight to
it. It did include my race entry fee, which was
right.
A smooth $985. Okay. Just to get into Kona. But so for a year, I raised money. Uh-huh. All, you know, you name it, I was doing it. Right. And the money, you know, through just amazing, again, back to the community of people in my life were gracious and found and helped me raise money. And the money came, raised it, went to Kona. Literally was the best experience of my life. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to be in there and to enjoy the day. I literally was able to embrace the moment. And I had, you know, so many friends there and so many, you know, the family, and got to be in it. I got to race with two really good friends. Mm-hmm. That made it even more special. And but coming down that finish line, Ryan, it took me 12 hours and 4 minutes. And I'm proud of that. Right. I just won the fact that I got to finish it. Mm-hmm. But coming down that finisher chute, and it was dark. And I wanted it to be dark.
Right.
Because I just, you know, I just...
Under the lights.
It would make for better photos. Oh, so
that's, if anybody knows Smoke, he loves his photos.
But I remember coming down that chute and just the deafening noise of being so loud. And it took forever. It seemed like it was a good mile, but it was 100 yards. And it just seemed forever. And people are waving and it was beautiful. You actually, on this finish, you come up a ramp up to a platform. And I role-played in my head, how do I want to finish? What cool pose do I want to do? And I did what I did, and thankfully I got off there quick enough to go find a corner to, you know, throw up, you know, a day's worth of Red Bull.
Yeah.
And it was so special. As loud as it was, I could hear my mom, my daughter, my sister, my girlfriend Laura, and just I could just hear their voices.
Uh-huh.
And of all the screaming, those are the ones that stood out the most.
That's
and
cool.
And I was like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I remember crossing that finish line going, somehow, some way, I've got to give back to somebody or people to get that sense of what that feeling is like.
Mm-hmm.
To cross, you know, at that finish line. Because that crossing that finish line, looking back, that was actually crossing the start line for what I'm doing today.
And you'd done a full before. Two of them, right?
I'd done four before that.
Okay, four.
And they were great.
Right. But
anybody who's done an Ironman, it will literally change your life.
Right.
And give you a great sense of accomplishment. Like, no matter what comes my way,
mm-hmm.
personally, professionally, physically, I have a lot more, you know, encouragement that I can withstand whatever comes my way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a springboard for wanting to do something much greater, because raising the money, you know, for two women, it planted a seed with me, you know, me finding my why.
Right. And before we jump into what I really want to dig into, because this is the coolest stuff, is during that process of you raising money for a breast cancer organization, mm-hmm. you had something that most dudes feel like, oh, that's breast cancer thing, team meet, because all your kits were pink, all your stuff was pink, like everything was about women and breast cancer
Absolutely.
And all stuff. But you had something that came up in this process while you were training.
I did. I felt a lump in my left, you know. Men call them breasts.
Booby.
Iron pegs, whatever you want to call it. I was on the couch, I'm like, man, I feel this little, I feel like a little BB. I'm like, wow, man, that is real sensitive. I thought, man, if it's ingrown hair, whatever it is. And 6 months later, it's still there. 9 months later, it's still there. I'm thinking, you know, you're going to be a hypocrite if you're out telling people, you know, about raising, you know, money for breast cancer awareness, but you don't go get yourself checked. And so I made an appointment, went in, I had a breast exam, mammogram. I had that done, and did an ultrasound. They're like, "Hey, we found a lump, and we don't think it's anything too serious, but there's something there that we feel needs to be removed." So about a month later, I went and had surgery. I'm thinking, you know, this thing's like the size of just a dot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this should be, you know, poke it open, pull it out, put a Band-Aid on, let it go. Full blown surgery. Had a 4-inch incision on my chest, and it was the size of, you know, 2 quarters. You know, that they pulled out, and it was, you know, it just opened my eyes once again that nobody is invincible to anything. I don't care if you can do how many Ironmans you can do, you know, anything can happen to any one of us. So it's important that when I talk to men, to take an extra minute and check,
right?
Check yourself.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
Yeah. Because guys just don't, first off, guys don't take care of themselves to begin with. And then you just don't think that that's something you should even consider,
right?
Or even pay attention to.
Absolutely.
Which, and the reason I brought that up is because all of that leads us into you finding your why,
mm-hmm.
going through that process. I have been fortunate enough. I haven't done it quite on the fundraising level side until this year, but being involved with a group called Go Mitch Go. And then before that it was Team in Training, and they're for Leukemia Lymphoma mm-hmm. Society. So I've gotten to experience it from the coaching athletes and watching them raise money, watching them achieve all these things. And it's always been so cool to watch people achieve these goals and dreams they have, plus doing something bigger than them.
Right.
And I did it through just supporting the cause and coaching and helping the athletes get there, but I never did it on the fundraising side, which this year is my first time to do it on the fundraising side for an event, and I'll get into that at some other point in the future. But and you're actually going to be a part of that.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll record a podcast on that one too, so Smoke will be around for several episodes. But all of that after Kona led you to finding something bigger.
Absolutely.
And you went this route. How did you go the route that you went, and explain exactly what it is?
Yeah, that's a great point. Nearly 4 years ago, I wanted to start a side business.
Mm-hmm.
And I called it TriDat, D-A-T. And the D-A-T stands for Do Amazing Things.
Okay.
And it originally started out in a completely different platform. And it was frustrating, and it wasn't fulfilling what I was really longing for. And I realized that the community around me, that, you know, being a part of the team that you and I have started 5 years ago, you know, Divide and Conquer, you know, that the culture that we've been a part of with the family of DC is, if we see somebody in need, small, big, or cause, we give to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a short moment of just giving our time and resources, but we want to help people to do amazing things. And so from that Tridat started morphing into small little one-offs. You know, if I see somebody, see something, I want to be able to help out. But things still weren't coming quite together. I was like, I've got this cool name, I got a cool logo, but I don't know kind of what to do. Because everything I was doing was, call it what you will, it was for me.
Right.
You know, my training,
you're just being a really good dude. You
know, but my training, it's me.
Right.
My racing, it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
And me. And so getting into doing the raising money last year started opening my eyes to things outside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so things started coming together with people. I started, you know, hearing their story or seeing their story. And I thought, man, you know, it started planting a seed with me. And what I'm getting at is folks who have, you know, partnered with somebody with, you know, with a physical disability or special needs, where they push them in a cart, or they, or for the few rare folks who do triathlons with somebody, you know, pulling them in a raft, pulling them behind the bike, and obviously pushing them in a cart for whatever distance a triathlon is. And I thought, that's it. That is it. That is what I want to do. Because that feeling I got when I crossed that finish line at Kona, I have to somehow, some way, find that to give somebody else that sense, that feeling. Because there's nothing else I can accomplish on an individual level that will ever surpass what Kona meant.
Right.
But I know there's something greater than that that's outside of the me. And so after Kona, I started just networking in my mind is, this is going to happen. The line in the sand was drawn. I'm going to do this. But I knew nobody. Nobody in my inner circle has, you know, special needs or disability or wheelchair and any of these things. I'm thinking, how am I going to do this, Ryan? And
it was a journey.
I remember talking to you going, who do you know? And,
right.
And so if we identify somebody, how am I going to go up to these parents and go, hey, I know you don't know me,
right,
but would you mind if I take your child and put him in a raft and swim in the lake with other people and do a bike ride and run, you know? I was just terrified to have that conversation with somebody because they don't know me, the liability.
That's rough.
But I knew I had to get outside of my comfort zone. And the biggest way to do it is to lay down some money. And I had a cart through Adaptive Star. They make these amazing speed carts, you know, for people with, you know, physical limitations. And I ordered it. I signed, sealed, delivered. And
before you had anybody.
Before I had anybody.
Okay.
And I'm literally putting the cart in front of the horse.
I think that's a true definition.
It was. And I started thinking back because my son, who's now almost 21, he grew up with these two twin brothers, Bryce and Chance. And from junior high on, they spent so much time together. They were over at our house. My son was over at their house, just doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool is one of the brothers, his name's Bryce. He's born with cerebral palsy. And I remember seeing this kid. He'd come over and I'd see him. I'd have, you know, short conversations with him. But the kid's kind of witty, kind of funny. But didn't think much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the family was cool. They were supportive of just my son. And that meant so much to me.
Right.
And I remember reaching out. I talked to my son. I go, do you think...
Because you hadn't talked to Bryce in how long?
Since 4 years.
4 years.
Okay. And maybe even longer before that. So, does he even remember me?
Right.
And I remember I had his mother's number, you know, I remember my phone. I was like, I remember sitting there texting her in January, a few months ago, going, hey, you remember me?
Uh-huh.
I just mentioned, would Bryce be open to me doing a running race?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just something short, simple, and thinking, hey, if she says no, she says no.
Right.
You know, I totally understand. She pings me right back. She says, Bryce would love to talk to you. I'm like, oh man, it's almost like talking to a girl for the first time. Oh my God, she's interested. She's interested. What do I do? What do I do?
Right.
And so we spoke on the phone a few days later. And here in my mind is thinking what I can do to help Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryce stops me early on in the conversation. He goes, Ryan, what can I do for you? You tell me what I can do for you to help you with Tridat. And I was so humbled. Like,
it's the right dude.
This guy is so gracious in his gratitude. Here he's been in a wheelchair his entire life. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's my mission to give back and for other people to realize I'm just like they are. Mm-hmm. Don't look at me any different. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm in a chair. It may take me longer to do this or that, but I'm here, man. I want to live. I want to change the way people view others with disabilities. And so we met and we talked. And I remember going to their house, a few days later, and his mom was like, ask whatever you want to ask. Because this was new to me.
And that takes a lot of confidence and from them.
It was. And they were like, because what was so cool that I was admired from afar is they never babied him, Bryce. Mm. He was always included with my son and the boys, and they never babied him. And so he knew that there's no free rides.
Right.
You want something, you gotta work for it. Mm-hmm. And so I got to ask questions and learn stuff. And so we started going to the gym on Sundays, and I was nervous because I'm driving Bryce's, his car that he has and that's made for him. And I'm driving, what can I ask him, with all these things. And we get to the gym and I put some dumbbells in his hands. And he looks at me and goes, curls get the girls. oh, no. And
it's the perfect partner for you.
Perfect partner. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
And so over the course of several, our goal was, hey, let's do the Oklahoma City Half Memorial Marathon.
Okay.
Let's that be our first goal. We'll see how it goes before we, get too crazy. And he was just on fire. And so once a week, we go to the gym and we work out. And I told him from early on, I said, Bryce, if we come to the gym one day a week, this is a waste of our time. If you're not at home doing these exercises that I'm telling you about, on getting your strength back, because he hasn't stood in 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Because he has scoliosis.
Okay.
A 70-degree basic bend in his spine. And he had surgery probably 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
So he has a metal rod from his neck down to his tailbone.
Golly.
And metal in his hips. And so, mobility hasn't been there in a very long time. But he has these huge goals and aspirations in life. And I told him, I said, do you want to do these things? And you can do them.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to work your tail off, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And if I said, one day a week isn't going to cut it, you've got to be doing these exercises at home. Over about a month later of going to the gym once a week, I started really noticing some changes. I'm like, this guy's actually really doing it. And I'm thinking, well, what's everybody else's excuse?
Right.
And they have every capability in life to work out or do something at least once a day, something small, and they're not doing it.
Right.
But here's a young man who is doing everything he can
to just move.
To move.
Yeah.
And he's not wasting a moment of it. And 2 weeks ago, we went to the gym, and I noticed strength in his right leg especially, which he couldn't raise 2 months prior. He was pushing me back, with that right leg. I was like, all right, I'm going to try something here. And I didn't tell him. I laid him down on the ground, and we're just doing some stretches and some stuff. And I was very apprehensive, but I thought, I want to see what we can do here. And I picked him up, from behind, and just picked him up, and I stood him up. I said, all right, Bryce, walk. And he's like, what? Walk.
It's like, right pull leg. You set me up.
Yeah, your feet are on the ground. I'm holding up underneath his arms, like right leg, left leg, right leg. And he's doing it. Did about 8 steps. Would have done more, but I'm only so strong.
Right.
And I put him in his chair, and I remember seeing his face. He just looked at me like, I'm going to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to achieve my goals.
Like it clicked.
Yeah, and we really didn't say a whole lot. He just looked at me and we just hugged.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And I walked up and had tears in my eyes going, this is where this Triad is going.
Mm-hmm.
We are finding our why to help people to do amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been working towards that. And from his mission and my mission are obviously a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
He wants people that are, with special needs to go, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can find something. You can find whatever it is you want. And they can relate to him and look up to him like, I want to be like Bryce. Well, my story is a little bit different. here's somebody who's, I can do physically anything I've ever wanted to do and do it okay. And, but I know so many people, and I think you do too, Ryan, is we have friends that are phenomenal athletes or they're very successful in business, whatever it is, but they're still starving for something else. They're hungering for something because they have this void. They think that new car, that new house, if I get this and get that, it's going to fix it.
Right.
And they're empty 6 months later. And to be honest with you, there's times I was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got into finding my why and have a purpose for somebody else or a cause much bigger than, again, me, it started becoming this, it was fueling me, going, this is what's important. This is what it's really about.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares about the car?
Right.
The new car. Who cares about the whatever?
Mm-hmm.
This right here is changing people's lives. It's changing my life. When I hear, I thought I was setting out to change Bryce and his family's. They're changing my life.
Right.
So
yeah, and watching it from the outside, it's been. Because I haven't, like, met Bryce yet. Mm-hmm. I've just see all the pictures and all the updates on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. And, like, it's, like, changed mine. Because we're going to get into it in a second. But you guys just did the race. You just did the half memorial yesterday. And so we're at the end of April. And whenever you sent me the video yesterday of you guys finished, I mean, I got goosebumps right now talking about it. Like, I watched it. I'm standing in the living room. And I, like, tear up. I can tear up right now thinking about it. And so I immediately go find my wife and show it to her. She tears up. So she's crying. And I'm like, oh, what the heck? Like, I don't know this dude. I'm watching this video. Like, I'm like crying. I show it to my boss today at work. She tears up and starts crying. So, like, the impact that this dude's having on so many people. And, you know, like, there's things in my life. I mean, you're going to be the same way through this whole thing is where you're like, I'm selfish. Like, this is like doing so much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm getting so much more out of this than I would have ever dreamed of.
Right.
And people are like, oh, it's so nice of you to give back and do that. But like, whatever. Like I'm selfish. Cause I'm getting a ton.
Getting fed.
You're getting fed more than you could have ever dreamed that you would ever get fed. So let's jump into the race because we kind of talked about it briefly before we started recording here because I came out and watched you guys and throughout the course. And, so let, first off, Bryce is not a small dude.
No, he's not.
He's a man.
He's 21. He's a grown man.
He's a grown man. So if people that are thinking like, oh, Bryce, he weighs like, you know, 110 pounds. Bryce is a grown man.
He's a grown man. He's a good 130-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an entire pizza each on Saturday night. So maybe it's a few more.
He had a carb load.
He had a carb load.
Right. And the cart you have is top of the line, but it's still big
still
cart.
Heavy.
Yeah. So the package combined is not easy.
No.
And anyone, you think Oklahoma, you think flat, like whatever. But the Memorial route is probably the hilliest route in Oklahoma City area.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone that's never done that race, there's one constant every year. The weather will suck. It's going to be cold or it's going to be extremely hot. It's going to be really humid or it's going to rain. Or one year it hailed. One year, I mean, it's always going to be something. And this year was pretty breezy.
Yeah.
For Oklahoma standards, it wasn't windy, but it was breezy and pretty hot for this time of year. And we've had like super cold temperature to this point.
Right.
So with all that being said, it's setting up for this is going to be an epic day.
Yeah.
So Kona heat and thing is one thing.
Yeah.
But pushing Bryce around Oklahoma City is a totally different
animal. You know, I've only pushed him in the cart like three times prior.
Oh, that's
it. And 5 miles was the max. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I was worn out after 5 miles.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, oh no, how are we gonna do 13.1? I can barely do 5.
And now you're committed because everybody's there to watch.
I know. And I'm still in good shape.
Right.
It's not like I've just let myself go since October.
Because you've been doing a ton of weights getting ready for
this.
Yes. Yeah.
I realized quickly that from the shoulders, just the maneuvering of the cart. You have to pull down just to get the front wheel to lift up to make the turns and this. And you know exactly when there's an incline. You're like, whoa, here we go.
Uh-huh.
And so it was 5 miles. I'm thinking, oh, man, this is going to be a grind. And everybody's asking, how long do you think it's going to take? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm thinking I would love for 2.5 hours.
Because
it's hilly. There's going to be wind. And it's going to get hot and all these things, and I just don't know, and the crowds, and I'm, you know, I don't want to run over anybody. So we were a lot of unknowns, but
pretty much everything was unknown.
It was very unknown. And we get down there to the race at the memorial site, and if anybody's not been there, look it up. And if you've been there, you know the power of the Oklahoma City Memorial. And it is beautiful beyond words.
Yeah.
And we're outside of one of the walls in the dark, and I'm pretty cool. I'm thinking, this, we're going to go for a run. That's all we're doing. And Bryce's mom, Ashley, and Bryce hug, and I can sense there's some emotion going on. And one thing I haven't spoken about, and I, this is part of Bryce's story, I don't really want to speak for Bryce, but his father unexpectedly passed away 2 years ago. And so that was, you know, a hard time for Bryce and his brother and his mom. And so I know that's been fueling Bryce to race for his dad, to, you know, to like, Dad, I'm doing this, man. And I see that they're hugging his stuff, and Ashley leans up and just gives me this hug, and she's emotional, and next thing you know, I become emotional. I'm trying to, thankfully it was dark, and I remember pushing Bryce off, going, all right, game on. You know, like a switch went off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just with, I'm with adrenaline going, I'm so thankful. You know, let's just...
Right.
And we got to, thankfully, started up at the front with the other hand-assisted athletes.
Because this event's not small for people that don't know. They have like 25,000 runners.
Yeah, there was a lot.
It's legit.
And gun goes off. We get a five-minute head start, and... I'm, you know, when Bryce and I were running, I was doing 10-minute miles, and just like, oh god, my arms are burning. And we're just hoofing through downtown and through Bricktown, and there's a big bridge at mile one that I didn't walk. I ran it, and I looked down at Bryce and I'm like, we need to slow down, man. We're doing 8-minute miles, and I'm gonna run out of gas
soon.
And yeah. I dialed it back a little bit. But then you start getting the crowds and the vibe, and everybody's just into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then other runners caught us, and they're coming back, great job, man, way to go. I'm like, this is great.
You probably never had so many, like, data boys and way
no,
to go
it was
ever in
it
your
was
life.
Contagious.
The whole day.
And that's what I love about this community. And, you know, then a few other big hills came into play.
Right.
I thought, you know, I've got to walk these hills.
Mm-hmm.
And then my glutes were on fire. My calves were on fire. And there's a notorious at mile 7 is Gorilla Hill. Mm-hmm. And that's like the epic spot. And it's one
right.
of the most, you know, top rated aid stations of all marathons in the U.S. And fortunately, it's right where I live. So it's great because
right.
my family was there and all of these friends. And here we're coming up this hill. And it's just, it's intense.
It's huge because there's tons of spectators here. They have this, like, I don't even know how tall that gorilla is.
Yeah.
It's what, like 30 feet tall
feet.
Gorilla that they put in somebody's yard, and there's bananas everywhere,
yeah.
and people dress as bananas. Like, it's
nuts.
It's crazy. It's really cool.
And that was the first time we got to see you guys and Bryce's mom and my family, and it was just like, oh wow. And this is so good. I mean, with this massive hill, and then there's a big downhill.
Mm-hmm.
I think, oh, downhills are going to be easier. No, I'm trying to hang on to this thing, because if I slip and let go of Bryce, hey man, you got it from here.
Right, I'll see you later.
Because there's no catching up to
no.
it. No. And so a lot of us like pulling back on the reins to get it going. And so for the next, you know, at this point, mile 7, we were like, right at an hour. And I think, man, we might be able to break 2 hours. And then we start heading south into the wind, and then things slowed down. And
reality sets in.
Really set in, but we got to talk, and we got to just really take in the day. And as we got into, like, right at the last turn before coming down Broadway, I reached into this pocket, and I pulled out my phone, and I turned on video.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming down. I see the music. I see, you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's coming. And I'm like, Bryce, this is for you, man. This
mm-hmm.
is for you. And we're going, and you see his, emotion, you're cheering, you see him going through this, and just the crowd's cheering.
Yeah, he's like got his arms out, like he's pumped.
He is pumped. And we cross the finish line, and I ask him, Bryce, how you doing, man? How you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part where it gets really emotional, because you see what it means
mm-hmm.
to him.
It was pure, pure joy.
It was pure joy, like, I am on fire for life.
Yep.
just because I'm in this chair doesn't mean I'm not capable of doing anything I set out to do. And he is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm on fire as well to give him a platform to get his story out. And because it's powerful. It's when you really get to know him, he has a powerful, powerful story. And we had the most amazing day.
Yeah.
And we're excited for what's ahead of us. And mm-hmm. we want bigger and better things, you know, from a racing standpoint. But the racing standpoint is just a small piece of it. It's what we want to do outside of that. And Bryce, you know, has done public speaking.
Okay.
He wants, you know, to be a motivational speaker and speak for...
That's kind of the direction he wants to go with this.
That's the direction he wants to go, and he's really good at it.
Okay.
And
we need to get Bryce on here then.
We do.
That would be a blast.
For our next race.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
Because that one's going to be a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, because I want to hear his feedback on that training.
I do.
Uh-huh.
And, but that's what we're, that's what he wants to do, and I want to give him every opportunity. And from my standpoint is that people are wanting to find their why. Like, man, I don't know anybody that has this. You don't have to push somebody in a cart to do something amazing. Mm-hmm. Find somebody in your community, at work, or somebody, you just, trust me, open your eyes and be present in the now, and it'll come to you.
Because it took you a while to find it.
It took me a mm-hmm. while. But once you do...
And you found it in a weird way.
If you look back, and all of us are major points of our life, the things that really make the most impact always came to us in the most unexpected ways.
Right.
Like, well, I never expected that conversation with that one person at that one time to then trickle down to this. Me having a swim lesson with you
right.
has led us to here today.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And I got it. Yeah. It's been a fun adventure for us because we've trained together since that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been years and we always have like, we're always doing a random race and, you know, get to the point where like, we're both at the point now, like the past couple years where both of us have taken a step back and been like, it's fun. It's cool. I love the community more than I like the race.
Right.
It's just kind of like, I'm just tired of doing the same thing all the time. Right. And so I found a new adventure that I'm doing mm-hmm. and you have found this like true calling for this point in your life.
Right.
And who that's going to influence and change is going to be like really cool to see. I mean, it's already influenced and changed us. But seeing you guys go through this adventure is going to be super cool. Like super cool. Because between now, so we're at the end of April,
mm-hmm.
you guys have another event.
We do.
Lined up.
We do.
And that's at the end of September.
It is.
And that's going to, are you going to do any races between now and then?
No. There's a couple
individual
races that I've had prior commitments.
Oh yeah. You have, what's the name of that stuff
it's
called?
It's swim run. U.S. National Championships
in Maine
this mm-hmm. August, where one of our mutual buddies, Phil, and I will be tethered together with a 10-foot rope, swimming from island to island, swimming and running.
Uh-huh.
It's over 20 miles of running and over 4 miles of swimming in the ocean. So we're going to be doing that together.
Okay.
Got some stuff, but for Bryce and I, it's getting acclimated. You know, next step is getting the cart behind the bike and going on bike rides, mm-hmm. and getting a kayak. And getting just one step at a time and getting more comfortable with what we do.
Okay. So a triathlon's the next adventure.
The triathlon is, for the folks who are familiar with Oklahoma City triathlon scene, Redman is the epic race.
It's the best.
Year. And from a non-sponsored Ironman event, this is hands down phenomenal.
Absolutely.
And so I encourage anybody that's listening that's looking for a half or a full Ironman that's great local community race. It's not a monster race that you're not gonna be intimidated by. Check out Redman.
Yeah, it's the best because they definitely are there for the athlete and not for the money. It's a nonprofit. They give the money to a local organization every single year. Dave, if it wasn't for Dave Wood and his wife and mm-hmm. what they do in the endurance community in Oklahoma City, it would be nowhere near what it is.
Absolutely.
And so that event, if you've ever heard of it, if you're in this region, you probably have heard of it. If you've never done it, it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, is it the greatest course ever? Is it the most scenic? No. But the way they treat you as an athlete is off the charts. And this year it's the USAT Long Course Nationals again. It was the ITU Worlds. But 2 years ago, we had Everett Crowe came in. Like, we had a lot of, like, big names here. So, cool event. definitely need to check it out, and that'll be y'all's next adventure.
It is. We're doing the 70.3, and we're extremely excited for it. And that's, you know, things really start clicking in now for that. And so we're excited. But the ultimate goal, our big dream goal, is to get back to Kona and to race, you know, in the Ironman World Championships.
That would be
that's crazy. That's it from an athletic standpoint. That is where we want to get back to.
If it happens, cool. If it doesn't,
it does, but
cool adventure along the way.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So. And then on the way out on this interview, we're going to ask a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
Nothing that's going to be too bad.
Okay.
Give me, so these will be all your favorites, quick answers, whatever pops in your head. Your favorite workout, doesn't have to be endurance related. What's your favorite workout to do?
Favorite workout is rowing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. Yeah. All right. Favorite endurance event you've ever done?
That's a great one. It was probably one of the most miserable races I ever did. Outside of Kona, you know, everybody's...
Yeah, that doesn't count.
That's a given. Doing the ITU Worlds in France.
Which Phil also went to that race with you.
Phil went to it, and he did amazing. I just did the best to get through it. It was horrible conditions.
Cold, miserable,
cold,
wet.
Miserable, but it was just... It was amazing just to be a part of an ITU World Championship.
In France. Yeah, that doesn't suck. No. Your favorite food? Doesn't have to be healthy.
No, absolutely pizza.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a no-brainer. Favorite place you've ever been?
Wow. Kyoto, Japan.
I didn't know you'd been to Japan.
Yeah.
What'd you go there for?
Work. As part of it, just, 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Kyoto was amazing.
That okay.
Yeah, well, I've been in quite a few places, but that's
Japan.
That takes the game.
All right, your favorite piece of equipment, like as far as like your for training or racing or anything like that. What's your like? I love these shoes, or I love this watch, or this set of wheels, my bike. Like, what is the one thing that you're just pumped on right now?
Right now.
Right now.
It's a new massage ball.
Oh yeah.
That I got about a month or two ago. It's definitely
that's the little roller thing.
Yeah, it's two little rollers on both sides. You can adjust the width of it, and it's great for just spine work, you know.
Well,
fascia. And
that goes into my last thing, which was going to be recovery, but that's going to be your favorite recovery tool then.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Nice.
It is.
So as far as finding stuff for Tridat, you have Instagram.
Yeah, Tridat365.
Okay.
Tridat365. 365.
Okay, so they can keep up with you and Bryce.
Absolutely.
Through that, and then I'll put that also in the notes on the page. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with?
No, man. I appreciate all you've done.
This is awesome.
For so many people, it was without you, so many people wouldn't be where they are in this, tri community. And
I appreciate that.
I know I wouldn't be. So.
Yeah, and now we can't swim together because you swim way too fast. And so, yeah, weird how that works.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you so much for doing this, and. Thanks for doing this with Bryce, because, again, I'm selfish, and I enjoy watching it, and it's been freaking amazing to this point, and I can't wait to see what you boys knock out in the future. So, awesome job. Thanks for being a stud and for helping out so much.
You're
cool.
Welcome.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.